Welcome to the MS News Today podcast. I'm your host, Jen Powell, and I also have secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. I am a columnist with MS News Today at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. Let me invite you to join our MS forums. We have over 1,000 active members discussing common themes and sharing their experience on living with multiple sclerosis. Please consider joining. You can find the link to the MS News Today forums in this episode's description. Welcome to the Multiple Sclerosis News Today podcast. I'm your host, Jen Powell. Today we have with us a very special pair. We have Dan and Jennifer Digman. Dan and Jennifer share their perspectives on life from a husband and wife who each have multiple sclerosis. He's walking, she's rolling. Together, they keep moving forward. Jennifer has secondary progressive MS. Dan's is relapsing remitting. They met at an MS event in 2002, were married in 2005, and have worked to empower people through their relatable stories of love, empathy, and helping each other to stay in front of the obstacles that MS and life put in their way. The Michigan couple maintain a nationally recognized blog, A Couple Takes on MS.com, host a podcast under the same name, have presented keynote speeches at events nationwide, and regularly contribute to various MS publications and websites. They are MS activists, serve as district activist leaders. In 2015, were inducted into the National MS Society Volunteer Hall of Fame for Advocacy and were the 2019 National MS Society Michigan Activists of the Year. Well, my goodness, welcome to you both. Quite an ominous introduction, and it's just such an honor to have you.
Well, thanks for having us, Jen. This is exciting. So we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Well, I appreciate you, and I know our listeners appreciate getting to hear your perspectives. Let me just start right off. A couple with MS. I'm sure we all understand living with this disease is difficult on our own. And with a healthy spouse, it's difficult. How do you do it together? I mean, this is a loaded question, but we don't have enough time, right?
But I was going to say how much time do you have.
How living together with MS, how do you prioritize one another's needs?
That's a great question, loaded and everything. But I think it's really, it becomes more about the need of the couple, like together. I think that and we always talk about, like, you know, we don't fight, because I think, you know, we always feel like anytime things get out of control, it's because of the MS. And so I think it's really just like, how do we, you know, operate and keep each other fully as functional as possible? And so then it becomes not so much my issue or Jennifer's issue. It's like, it's our issue. And so how do we get through that together?
I agree. I think it's a teeter totter as well. Where, you know, some days Dan's that little kid on the teeter totter that's bumping me off, you know, slamming down in the ground, or I'm the one who's slamming him off. But when everything is good, we're right in the middle, you know, it's very even. But we're lucky we have care. I have a caregiver so that Dan can continue to work. And I have 7 hours of care from another person. And she is amazing and helps us with so many things around the house. but we're lucky that that teeter-totter is normally, you know, on a pretty even playing field, if you will. But when we're both wanting to smash into the ground, that's a little difficult, as we've had trouble with that in the past. And those are moments where you're like, crap, we both have multiple sclerosis, but we manage.
You tackled that question pretty spot on. I think our listeners, myself included, who my husband does not have MS, we sometimes don't teeter-totter as well as you. So I think it's a good lesson to remember the needs of the couple are really at the hierarchy, at the top, at the apex. And whatever anyone can do to contribute to that is powerful. How did you meet?
Well, I think we actually met at an event. It was a National MS Society event for people with multiple sclerosis. Interesting thing is it was intended to be for women only, but they ended up having men started to sign up for this event. And I was a self-help group leader at the time. And so the programs manager had called me just to talk. And she's just like, you know, would you be interested in going to this event? I mean, because they needed more men there. And it sounded interesting. Because I don't know if you've heard of Zoe Koplowitz. I mean, she was like the keynote, and you're just thinking, sign me up. And so it was like an hour and a half away. And I went down there, and that's Jennifer was actually one of the leaders at the event. And that's how I met her.
And he was adorable. And it was very easy to talk to. I mean, it's a perfect crowd when you're surrounded by people from your MS community. And he and I just kind of struck up a conversation and hit it off very quickly. And we left that program that day. My mom came with me because it was about an hour drive from my house where I lived at the time. And I remember driving home and my mom said, I think that boy was interested in you. And deep down, I'm like, Mom, I don't think so. He's just another MS support group leader. But I'm fingers crossed under the table. Like, gosh, I hope he was so cute. So,
and I went into work on that.
I can see why he might have been interested in you. You're pretty spectacular.
Thank you.
And because I went into work the following Monday and my coworker asked, he's like, you know, he said, how was your weekend? And I said, Stacy, I met the woman I'm going to marry and you're going to be the best man at our wedding. And
he was.
And so, I mean, because Stacy was my best friend and stuff. And because it's like, and Stacy is just like, well, does Jennifer know this? So it's like, she will. So.
How did you proceed with the relationship? I mean, Jennifer, at that time, was your MS secondary progressive or? It was.
Jen, I can go on and on. I will try and be quick. I had started having difficulty walking and started using a scooter in May of that year, 2002. And then I met Dan in September of 2002, and I was not walking. I was using my scooter, and he never questioned. I remember the day of the event, I said that I needed to use the restroom, and he said, if you need help, I'm here. And it wasn't creepy or like, ooh, you know, he's being too much. He was just a nice person, and he was willing to help me. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I was living with my parents at the time and we started dating started talking, and that led to dating. And it just became pretty apparent that we were going to be together. You know, if the faith would allow, we would be together.
I mean, because she lived, you know, with her parents, that was like, is 101.3 miles away. And so like on the weekends, you know, on Thursday nights, I would pack my suitcase. So it was ready to go. So come 5 o'clock, I get out of work. I'm driving down Grand Blanc. And you know, and we'd spend the weekends together. And it was just And it was perfect. But then you start talking about like, okay, how do you go to the next level? And could we ever get married? I mean, it was like, eventually we just started in hypotheticals because you're thinking, how would two people with multiple sclerosis, when one of us can't walk anymore, how would this work? And that's where Jennifer had a physical therapist who had told her about the Michigan My Choice waiver program, where they would allow to have, you know, she could have a caregiver with her during the day so that I could continue working full time. Well, that kind of made it a lot easier to say we could make this happen. And so wasn't that long. And then I asked her to marry me because I'm thinking we can make this work. God willing and us willing, you know.
How did you propose?
Oh, wow. That's a good question.
I was in cahoots with her mom. She knew this was happening. And I had an event down in, down by where our support group was that day. And so I'm sitting there at the event. I didn't want to leave the ring in the car because it was like, so I had this ring in my pocket at this event. And so when I left driving down there, her mom and her brother knew I was going to be there. So as soon as I got to the house, her mom and brother left. And so Jennifer's on the phone. And the whole time, you know, people had been saying, you know, hinting at and joking about when are you going to ask her to marry you? And so we had talked marriage, and I had wanted to establish that if there ever was a time that I was going to ask her to marry me, it was going to be on, because I wanted this. It wasn't anybody else forcing me. So as I'm saying this stuff, Jennifer is thinking that I'm breaking up with her.
It was horrible, Jen. I'm like, Dan, you don't have to marry me. It'll happen when it happens. And I don't want you to feel pressure. I'm in a wheelchair. Well, I was in a scooter. And I know it's a lot of responsibility. And when it happens, it'll happen. In my heart's pounding because I'm so scared he's going to break up with me. And
well, just as I get ready to pop the question, the phone rings and it's one of her friends. I was like, oh my God. And so then the whole time, so then you got it. Once she's off the phone with her, I've got to like reintroduce this whole drama, get to this moment again. And then, you know, and then I, you know, of course, get down on my knee and then ask her. And it was just.
And it was the weekend I turned 30. I was turning 30, like maybe 2 weeks later, but one of my good friends was also turning 30. So we were having a birthday party, and it was the night of my 30th birthday party with Heather. And so Dan proposed, and I will never forget. We were going to the party and I was in the car, and I must have moved my hand, and my girlfriend Amy screamed, "What is that on your hand?"
It's hard enough for guys already to propose. So Dan, you pretty much were like, "Oh, come on." And Jen, you must have been blown away. I'm so sorry. Do you prefer Jen or Jennifer?
I prefer both.
Okay.
You know, I'm a Jen, and you know, that's easy. And I feel like we know each other well enough where, come on, girlfriend, call me Jen.
Right on. I'm a Jen. Yeah. I like it. But Jen, yeah, you must have been just like, whoa, you were going to break up with me and now you want to marry me? Okay, yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at any photos from that day, our wedding day was perfect and I was thrilled and everything. But the day he asked me was by far the happiest day of my life. I was just like, oh my God, I'm marrying this. I mean, this is like, you know, I was diagnosed with MS when I was 23. So I was thinking, I'm never, who's going to want to marry somebody with a chronic illness, let alone multiple sclerosis, and now someone that doesn't walk. And I mean, you just kind of give up on that hope. And then I meet Dan and then we get serious, and oh my gosh, he asked me to marry him. It was
I think a lot of our listeners could really relate to that. And I don't want to say give them hope, because it's a real fear for a lot of people. Even myself being married can't understand that. I can understand how hard it is on a marriage. But when you do have multiple sclerosis as a single individual, you begin to cross off dreams, even unconsciously, because you don't want to set yourself up for that inevitable heartbreak. And has that helped you maybe strengthen your bucket list for other dreams that you maybe crossed off before?
Yes. I have a spouse that I can rely on. And so when things get tougher, I don't think I can do it. Dan's my biggest support and my biggest cheerleader. And it also, in a roundabout sort of way, it gave me the confidence. Like, I was nervous to get married, because how am I going to function as someone who's a new wheelchair user? How am I going to maintain my independence, do the activities of daily living that were getting difficult? So that when we got married, it gave me the confidence, like, I can do this. And I think that's one of the things, personally, I would say multiple sclerosis has a wicked way of shaking your confidence in yourself. And so to have something to say, okay, but you did get married, you did move 100 miles away from your support in your family and your friends, and you made your own life. And yeah, I think that helped to rebuild confidence.
What would you say to that, Dan?
I think it's just the reality. You know, people will say that, oh, well, you guys have it perfect because you found each other and you both have MS and you have somebody who understands. And it's like, but this didn't happen because we sat at home, you know, it didn't happen that we shut ourselves out from the rest of the world. And you need to show up, you need to be present, you need to move forward. And I think that's the big thing, is just always being present. I think it's finding that support system. I mean, we're fortunate that we have a spouse, but it's like, you find other people in the MS community that can help. And then it's like, you're showing up, and a lot of times it's like making it not about you. It's a lot easier for me to do something if she wants it or if she needs it, you know, where it's just like me, I feel like I'm selfish. But it's like, if you're there, and it's like, there's people, I now have somebody who's counting on me. And so it's up to me. And then I have issues and things, but it's just like having her here keeps me in check to say, okay, well, is what you're dealing with really that bad, you know? And sometimes, yeah, it is and stuff. But as far as, like, you know, building your confidence, it's like, I think you also have a lot more confidence when you know you have the support system to back you and help you through. And so I think that's why it's so important for all of us in the MS community to just continue to be open and to continue to make the connections, so that you don't, as you said, Jen, not to feel alone, and just how you move forward, and you're not in it alone. I mean, there's nearly a million Americans and 2.3 million worldwide. I mean, we have so many people to have that connection. So
I think something Jen said, and thank you so much, Dan, something Jen said where it shakes up your confidence. MS also has a way of doing, I call the committee in your head, the chatter that you're alone, you're isolated, stay home, you can't do this, you can't do that. And you can do things. There are limitations, but there are possibilities. And I find connectivity being one of the most important things in anyone with multiple sclerosis lives, be it through what we are doing right now on a Zoom call, if you can't get out of the house, or were you two met at a community event for people with multiple sclerosis, but cultivating that community, be it family or friends or a support group, is absolutely integral to our ability to thrive and not only survive, because we deserve more than to survive. We deserve to thrive.
Absolutely.
Yes, we do. And it's a risk that all of us in the MS community face. When things get hard, your natural instinct is to make your world smaller. I don't want to see people. I don't want to go out. My hair doesn't look good. I am having trouble with my bladder, and that's embarrassing. And so you make your world smaller, which is completely understandable. But in the year 2022, hop on the internet, join a Zoom conversation, join a support group, make your world bigger. I mean, that's, you know, if I find myself being mopey and, oh, I don't want to go out or I don't want to do this, I'm blessed that I have a spouse that's there to encourage me to do things. Or if he's like feeling antisocial and it's like, we need to get out and be with people, and or even have a conversation with Jen on a Zoom, you know, just don't get isolated.
I know people can't see this call right now, but I am tearing up because it is very easy. No matter how you're perceived from somebody else, you are still struggling with this disease. Mm-hmm. And the pull and the power to go inward when you suffer from something is so great. And that is when we have to take our own faith and pull to push outward, because that is when we need the connectivity the greatest. And I think many people see you, like you were speaking of your marriage. Oh, you're perfect together. No issues. This is great. Or myself. Oh, that's great. Podcast, whatnot. We all of us struggle. All of us struggle. And I think it's important, in the name of authenticity and transparency, to let others know that.
Mm-hmm. And it is. I mean, because I use sports a lot, and it's just like, you know, we see like championships and we see just all these superstars that are doing things that are so awesome. But it's like, you know, like the NBA finals are happening now and Steph Curry is just like
the Warriors.
Exactly. See, that's why I pulled that in. But it's like they make it look easy, but we don't know what kind of struggles they deal with it. We're not up with them at 5 o'clock in the morning, shooting around, all the work that goes into it. And it's just like, so, I mean, yeah, we can sit here and say, oh, we've got this great marriage. And we do. I mean, but the challenges, the struggles that you go through every day. I mean, just even, you know, even just getting out of bed in the days where it's just like, do I really, because I know that I would say the second my feet hit the floor, it's just like, it's going to be nonstop until we go to bed tonight. And you're just like, am I really up for this today? And just the challenges in dealing with everything MS related, and it's overwhelming. And that's, again, that's why you need to open yourself. But you know, we say, oh, open it up and make it bigger, but at the same time, you need to give yourself those moments to be angry alone and just deal with mm-hmm. the frustrations alone. But the key is to not stay there. Jennifer says it's a nice place to visit, but you don't want to stay there. And so it's just like, you go there because you need that. And that's like part of the healing, is to have those moments, but then get out. Then it's just like, you go have the moment, but then realize that it's like, you're better than this. And you owe it. It's like, have faith in yourself. I mean, that it's just like, and don't compare yourself to other people. I mean, you're in a, you know, especially with MS, when it's like saying how it affects everybody differently, then why am I comparing myself to somebody else? I need to every day, I need to find my personal best. What am I doing today that will make me better than I was yesterday? You know, and it's just like, focus on you and what you can do, because we're all, I mean, all at different levels. And don't compare yourself to others, but compare yourself, use others to inspire you and motivate you. But, you know, there's just things that I can't do anymore, but that's okay. What am I doing today that's something I can do?
How do each of you deal with the realities? You mentioned prior to getting married, you discussed the hurdles that will be there. And I say will be there because we all know they exist. How do you navigate hurdles together and individually?
Patience. I mean, we have to be patient with each other and with ourselves. We rely on each other. I think right now, you know, going through the last 2 years and the isolation, the forced isolation, that was difficult. But I think we lean on each other and we're honest and we try and be patient. I know that when you feel good, which is ironic because we're all living with multiple sclerosis, when you feel good, when you're not sleep deprived, or when you're eating well and you're not, you know, I quit smoking when I was diagnosed, for example.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But when you're trying to focus on your best self, I think that really helps you navigate the hurdles. If you're coming from your strongest place possible, that helps me.
I think for me, it's just prioritizing, you know, when you're talking hurdles, is this something that has to get done right now? Is it something that I have to do? I'm not saying procrastinate per se, but it's like, can you take it on tomorrow? Or realizing, does it all have to get done today? You know, I'm very much, you know, sink or swim. It's like, I'm in it, I've got to finish it. But it's like, you know, but I'm learning over time that it's just like, okay, well, even if I get this much done and then take a break, that gives me the rest of the day to recover. And then I can hit it tomorrow. It's like, I had an essay I had to do, you know, yesterday. And I'm like, you know, and you start to get crabby. It's like, I've got to get this done today. But then you just realize, okay, well, I've got this in order. Does it have to get done today? No. So then just like, get what you can done now. And then you can think on it throughout the night. You go in the next day and it's just like piece of cake. So it is for me, overcoming hurdles is just prioritizing what has to get done today and what can wait until tomorrow, because we need that time to just recuperate.
Do you remember what the Ted Lasso quote is about cut yourself?
Oh yeah. So did you watch Ted Lasso? But he said, he says, now go get yourself some scissors and cut yourself some slack. And it's just
love
like,
it,
just,
Jen. Love it.
Yeah. That we have to remind ourselves.
We do. And I think I'm very much like Dan, but I am learning that grace is just as powerful. Giving ourselves grace is just as powerful a lesson and achievement than it is to do laundry, because our MS, a lot of times we fight it with, I'm going to get it done, and my body is going to suffer, but I'm going to get it done. But our bodies suffer. What does that do? So yeah. I think the grace that you two have so evidently shown one another in the world and what you do is powerful. Can you speak a little bit about your advocacy work? I'd love to hear more.
It's like that's where, you know, we first started doing advocacy with when we got married and everything for the My Choice waiver program, you know, that's like funded through the state. And so we started advocating at the state level for that, you know, continued and increased funding for that, because when you're dealing with a chronic illness or anything, it's like you have to be your own best advocate in dealing with anything with your illness, with your disease, and like even going to your doctor, you have to advocate for yourself. And so we needed to be present in making this known so our legislators could see this is a real issue, and this isn't just for senior citizens. You know, this is, you know, this is stuff to help people with disabilities. And I think that's where nobody knows your story better than you. And so you need to make that known, because if things aren't happening and for the way you want them or the way you need them to, if you're not saying anything, you know, nobody's going to know what your challenges are. And so that started the ball rolling, and nothing is more empowering than when you meet with a legislator or when you do something, you know, to advocate for yourself, because like I'm doing something for me, and not only than me, but for how many other people living with these kinds of conditions. And so that's.
And advocacy can sound intimidating, but we go to a church that we're both, you know, members of, but I think we were going there maybe 5 years before it occurred to me, why isn't there a ramp, like a van access curb cut closer to the sanctuary? So I just asked our pastor, and she said, oh, well, that's easy. And she put a ramp in. They got some cement and they did that. And that was easy advocacy, because I'm not the only person that uses a ramp, you know, women with pushing their kids in strollers, or somebody has a bum leg and they have to use a cane or crutches, you know, that little bit of advocacy. So just standing up, if you see something, or writing a letter to the editor. You know, people don't read newspapers like they used to, but even if you read something online and you want to stand up and say, ah, that's a bunch of bunk, this is how it really is. Just speaking up for yourself is advocacy.
And so it's just got really, you know, and like I say, it took off from there. And then that's just being empowered, and then being surrounded by other advocates is like, again, you open up yourself to the world.
I love this, because advocacy is so multifaceted. People are indeed, they're intimidated by being an advocate, thinking that it encompasses X, Y, and Z. But I think there's ways on a granular and a global level where we can affect change locally, federally, statewide, and nationwide. And doing those things makes it better for someone else. Mm-hmm. Jen, for myself, who is going to be probably spending more time in a wheelchair, that ramp will help me. So thank you. Dan and Jen, for people who are married with a condition that really never knew how to navigate caregiving and be able to get that, thank you. For people listening, there are ways to advocate in anything you see that you need. It's okay to speak up. And I think speaking up is so hard sometimes, isn't it?
It is. Especially when your disease is making you physically weaker and you feel that, oh, I don't want to use the word puny, but you do, you feel puny. And then you use your voice and you're like, oh, stop that. I'm strong.
I am like, not puny.
Yeah, look at me go. And the first time you meet with a legislator, like Dan said, or the first time you ask for accommodations, that's advocating for yourself. You know, there was a restaurant here locally that put tables out in the summer, but the tables blocked handicapped parking spots. And the first time you speak up and you say something about that, like, No. You have disabled people that need a place to park. You're helping. And it's small changes. And I think that's what's really encouraged Dan and me, is just don't think big, think small, and then big will snowball and it'll make it. How do you eat an elephant?
Yeah,
I would love to have you back just to speak about advocacy, because I would love to help other people learn how to get to be advocates for their finding their voice, because sometimes in a world of ableism, it can be very difficult for people when they feel challenged and internalized ableism, where we don't feel like our voice matters, to speak up about things, and also talk more about how you did go ahead and go to the legislation and create change there. And I would love to spend another podcast with you just going over that.
I would love to talk with you about them, because it's such a big issue and it's so important for, you know, for so many people living with MS. So that'd be fun.
And I see how when you're outside of yourself affecting change, both of you shine. I can see it on your faces.
Well, and it's, how many things can you say about multiple sclerosis is fun? But it's fun when you get to create change, or when you meet with people, or you meet with your community, and you see how powerful of an alliance you can build with your community.
And that's just like you say, it's where we use our voice. Some people are intimidated to use their voice and stuff. So then all of a sudden it makes it not just about me, not just about Jennifer or you. I mean, there's how many other people that aren't comfortable with making their voices heard. You know, we're speaking up for them too. It's not just about us.
Absolutely. And I think as we do so, you know, we liberate others to feel more comfortable in using their own voices, because we are together in this. We are working together and helping one another. As we close, I want to touch on your faith. I know it's such a powerful part of your lives. Tell me about how that has helped you navigate everything in your world.
She turns to me. I've always had a strong sense of faith. And I think, you know, when I was diagnosed with MS, there was, you know, sometimes I think it could turn people away from their faith because they're so upset. And I've often said that I never asked God. And when I was first diagnosed, I never asked, why me? I just said, you know, okay, God, you know, as I'm talking to God, as you do, you know, I was talking to God. I said, okay, help me. You know, this is where I'm at. This is what you think. I need your help. You need something to help me to get through this. And that's why I always say that, you know, Jennifer was an answer to my prayers. I mean, it's just like, this is the help I needed to, you know, move forward. And I just think there's so much, because it's like, you know, again, then you don't feel alone. I think just with the faith, you turn to that, just in knowing that it's like, that's what gives me the strength, because I know I've got that, you know, it's like, that's the power that I have, you know, in terms of being able to rely on God and my faith. And I always feel one of the best things I ever heard was like, you know, pray as though everything depends on God, but act as though everything depends on you. I mean, because it's like, you can't, I this thought of just like throwing prayers. I mean, sometimes you do have to like, let go, let God, because there's just things you can't do or change. But it's like, I can't expect and think that, you know, just by praying to God, everything's going to change. It's like, I need to pray, but then you also, then how are you going to act to make this better? And so I think that often, drives me, and, you know, it's just like, there's, you know, there something with prayer and comfort. It like gives you strength to be strong, or other times it gives you the peace and quiet just to say, you know, just be still, just to rest. And so that's for me.
I think you summed it up very well, and it gives you just a place to not, you realize it's not all about you. And sometimes with this disease, yes, it's in my body, it's affecting me, but my faith makes me realize I'm not in this alone. And that's when it's really hard and when you're really down, you faith, just I'm not in this alone.
Thank you. I agree with both of you as a woman of faith, and I appreciate your perspectives. As we close today, what message would you like to leave our listeners?
You aren't in it alone. None of us want to be here. None of us want to have multiple sclerosis. But now that you're here, reach out. You're not in it alone. And it's a good community. I mean, just like your people. I met a husband, for heaven's sakes. And, you know, but I have so many of my dearest friends or people I've met through support groups or I've met at program. So just don't go it alone.
And I always say, you know, you've got to respect the disease. I say respect the disease, but it's like believe in yourself more. I mean, it's just like you didn't get to where you are in your life, you know, because you were scared or because of, you know, so it's like don't lose all of your strengths, all of your mindsets and stuff just because you have multiple sclerosis. I mean, there's so much that got you through tough times to begin with. It's like none of that has changed. You know, you still, and I always say, you know, you're still the same person you were before you were diagnosed. So it's like don't throw away everything you had that got you to today. It's like, you know, you've got that strength and you've got that going for you. So you can make it through this, but again, you don't have to get through this by yourself. So it's like believe in yourself, but find faith in others.
Thank you so much. I believe our listeners will take so much from that wisdom. And thank you, Dan and Jennifer Digman, for joining us today. It's been an honor to have you.
Jen, thanks for having us. Yes, it's a good conversation. Thanks for engaging us in such a, love this. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Share your thoughts on this episode through social media. You can find MS News Today on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow us to keep updated on the latest news and to never miss new content and initiatives. Click the links in this episode's description.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com.